And I will just say that if you want to date this episode, first of all, ask its dad first. But kidding. If you want to date this episode, just have it home by 11:30. No, I'm just kidding. If you want to date this episode, not like go out on a date, like figure out when this episode was done. Uh-huh. This episode was done the week I found out about the Big Chungus meme.
Okay.
So in case something happens to your phone, you can't figure out when this was recorded.
Yeah.
It's Big Chungus, probably the second week of that meme.
Okay.
The year of our Lord, Big Chungus.
Which one's the Big Chungus?
Big Chungus, it's the rabbit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's Lord he coming.
Yeah, Lord he coming, that's Chonk.
Yeah.
That's different.
Big Chungus is Bugs Bunny looking fat, and they say Big Chungus.
Yeah, right. How this Big Chungus.
Big Chungus.
Chungus, I'm so sorry.
Damn it, man.
You've planted the seed in my head.
I've planted the seed. It's like, yeah, well, it's a Masal selection in your brain.
Is the Big Chungus, does it look tasty?
Big Chungus, it's like, look at this unit as absolute unit.
I get it. That's not my question.
It's moved instantly. It's Bugs Bunny doing an impression of Elmer Fudd. And looking like this is an earlier episode of Elmer of Merry Melodies,
sure.
Where Elmer Fudd was a little bit thicker. He was more of an Elmer Thud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
so this is a cartoon.
Yes,
it's not an actual fat rabbit.
But this is the year of our Lord Big Chungus.
Great.
I really don't think I'm going to cut any of that. I got to be honest with you.
That's fine. I'm okay with it.
Are you ready to start the podcast though?
Unless you want me to do the one thing I was going to bring up that probably also should get cut.
Do that, and then we'll start the podcast.
All right.
Is gorgeous.
I'm gonna leave all that silence in, and
it was like a complete. I know the enoki mushrooms, but it's a bunch of skinny ones all clumped together. It was just that right there.
I'm gonna do some creative editing so that we don't know exactly what was just talked about, but you hear some hints.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because wow, that was a thing. So, I guess there's really nothing to do but start the show.
Yeah, I hope I got us on a good foot.
Yeah, man, that's talk about a Big Chungus. and this is just like a quick mental health check-in. Uh-huh. I was making daiquiris last night.
Oh.
And I had a daiquiri. And
did you have a daiquiri attack?
I had a daiquiri attack. And you know what? It made me think of Legend of Zelda.
Uh-huh.
Like the instant I smelled that daiquiri, it was like a Proustian memory. I was like, ooh, Legend of Zelda.
What does Zelda have to do with daiquiris?
Last year at this time, I was really into making daiquiris and playing Legend of Zelda.
Got it.
Yeah, so we're probably ready to go now. Hey, and welcome to Disgorges. It's a podcast about wine. Mm. You didn't like that?
It's too forceful.
Okay. Hey, and welcome to Disgorges. It's a podcast about wine.
Oh, what's up, man?
My name is Duck.
Big Dungus, if you will.
Big Dungus. I'm the Chungus with the Mungust.
And it's me. I'm the dumb one.
The Dumbus.
The Dungus. Big Dungus. The Dumbus.
This is going to make no sense in like 3 weeks. This is already one of those memes that doesn't exist.
Right, right.
Like, people are going to listen to this and think we made it up. But Big Chungus is a thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe like... Maybe we're doing God's work here. Maybe we're making like a time capsule for the future.
A time capsule.
Yeah.
That's how an English would say it.
Yeah. Or anybody not from America.
A capsule.
Like maybe someone from Arabia.
Or Tuesday. I love Tuesday.
Yeah.
Club's going up on a Tuesday. All right. We're ready. Okay. So today we're doing an episode that I have long wanted us to do.
Uh-huh.
We're doing an episode about... Chiarello.
Mm-hmm. Now,
Chiarello,
Jarello, Jarullo.
Yep.
These are all acceptable pronunciations.
Yeah, Jarullo is probably the most. maybe Jason Derulo.
Yeah.
Martin Chiarello-y.
Yeah.
That's all of the jokes.
Captain Chiarello's mandolin.
Explain that one to me.
I just like it.
Okay, you just those words just came to your head.
Yeah. This is a great.
It's a great
we're doing.
Yeah.
You've wanted to do it for a long time.
I love Chiarello. So we
should like be open. Like the reason you like Chiarello so much.
You want to see other people?
Much, I thought we already discussed this.
We did, what the fuck? Wait. You're cheating on me?
Well, yeah. Well, I thought we agreed to see other podcasts.
What are you fucking talking about?
I'm starting another podcast with some other
Is that where you were last night?
Yeah.
You came home and just took a shower immediately. I was like, what's going on there?
Yeah, but you could...
I could smell the stink.
The stink of white male mediocrity on my fucking breath.
Which is not how it normally is.
No, we should be honest and say the reason you want to do a Zarella episode is because you work for like the one of only two books that have like a good Zarella.
We have like
section.
Eight Zarellos.
You have like, when I ask people what Zarella I should buy, they're like, well, buy one of the ones that John sells. And I was like, well, okay,
who's John?
Assuming I can't buy a duck selection.
Oh, wow.
And then we found a couple others. But it's like you guys. And selections are like yeah. the two books that have all the Zarello.
So Zarello is
way to hog it and not share it with the rest of us.
Zarello's the good white grape from the Catalan autonomous area.
Right.
I mean, well, actually, the way I talk about Zarello is I talk about Destiny's Child.
Oh, yeah.
And you have Zarello is the Beyonce.
Sure.
Perriotta is Kelly.
Yeah.
And Macabeo is
the
Michelle.
Third one. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all important. But it's about Beyonce.
Right. Well, Zarello is the one that actually has, like, character.
Yeah.
More than just, you know.
We're going to lose so many subscribers because people are like, wait, Kelly Rowland fucking rules, guys. Yeah. What was that song she did?
Say My Name.
No, she did a song by herself. But yeah. I digress. and so I have been standing for Zarello for a long time. We talk about it as Mediterranean Merceau. It is... very analogous to Chardonnay in a lot of ways. Makes a damn good bubbly. It likes oak. It does a lot of things. And I stand it. I love it. I'm really happy to be doing it. Catalan wines are the bomb. And today we're drinking... we're doing some fun stuff.
Yeah.
So the first wine we're doing is actually a gift from one of our fans. It is a Parte de Creus XL 2016 vintage. It's their ancestral Zarello.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going?
It's definitely sparkling. I will say I did, among other things, burn my tongue on a hot pot yesterday.
Oh, Jesus. I don't need any more hot pot nonsense from you.
All right.
It's a fruit day, which is I'm very excited about because so Parte de Creus is probably was my first encounter with natural wine, actually. I remember working in retail and getting a bottle of Parte de Creus.
I sort of think, to piggyback off of last week's episode, it was maybe like the original Instagram wine.
100%.
In terms of the natty wine set, like you would just see pictures of, you know, before that, people posted pictures of wine that was like something, some white label with a lot of script on it saying French words. And you're like, yeah. Huh? I don't know anything.
Parte de Creus is masterful branding.
Then you're like, why does it say XL? Is it extra large?
Yeah.
Sick. But yeah, you know, they have these bottles that have the sort of iconic spray-painted looking two mm-hmm. letters, sometimes three letters, but almost always two, that like represent what the grape is, for the most part, depending on the whatever the cuvée is.
And yeah, and I remember I worked at a retail store, and we fucked around, got the VN, which I loved.
Which is what?
I think it was a fucking Merlot.
What are the VN? Was
it the I don't know. I don't quote me on that. I remember saying it was a Merlot, but I knew nothing then.
Right.
It was a fine wine. And no one liked it. And I was like, what's wrong with you guys? You don't like natural wine. But like, fast forward today, I think Parte de Creus is, for better or worse, when people talk about natural wine, it's a Schenectady for Parte de Creus.
Yeah.
Or Parte de Creus is a Schenectady for natural wine.
Yeah.
Like, it is an Instagrammy wine. It is oftentimes off. Most of the time, it's on and it's fucking fantastic. But I'd say like 25% of the bottles I've had from them are absolute like stinkers.
Well, I think that in a lot of ways, they were one of the first in this kind of vein where the demand started outweighing the supply
mm-hmm.
kind of quickly. And that's something that happens for a lot of producers when they get like more famous than they thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can lead to producers releasing wine before its time or whatever. And We've sort of talked about that in the podcast before, like the fact that to be in natural wine, you kind of have to like always be releasing current vintage and always be selling current vintage. You don't get the luxury of sitting on shit.
I've not had anything of theirs that has age on it. Not that this has much, but this is really nice.
Yeah, I actually like dig this more than I expected.
Yeah, I was really prepared. Like when we did our Instagram wine last week, I specifically didn't get one of these wines because I have not had great success with them recently. I feel like the last couple of bottles I've had went mousy immediately.
Uh-huh.
And I feel bad because I think they're nice people and they make, when they're on, like everyone in wine has a Partida Creos moment
mm-hmm.
where they have a bottle of them and they're like, I cannot believe this is the best fucking value in wine.
Yeah.
And then everyone has a moment where like, I got another bottle and it tasted like tortillas and dog shit.
Right.
This is good.
I actually really, really like
this. I'm loving this right now. Yeah.
I have a big announcement,
mm-hmm.
some big news. I don't mean to stop the podcast in the middle here, but I think everyone here deserves to know, wants to know. I think you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I tasted mouse.
In this wine?
Not in this
one. Okay.
No, not in this one.
Because this has been aged, which I just discovered on Alice Firing's Instagram this week, fixes mouse.
Well,
which I've been saying for a while.
Our friend Zach has talked about that too.
Yes. But now she said it, so it must be right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I opened a wine. It's a wine that I happen to know often gets mousy.
Okay.
And I, as you know, vixens know, I don't really – I assume I'm not susceptible to mouse because I have never tasted it. But I took a sip of this wine, and I waited for a moment, and I all of a sudden there was this creeping Frito-Lay – flavor in my mouth.
Yeah.
And it was very faint. And I had a coworker taste the wine. They're like, holy shit, that's mousy as fuck. So I'm definitely on the lower scale of being able to detect it.
But you
I finally
it
caught it.
Hey, let's clink to that.
It was gross. Yeah, let's clink to that. Thanks. I can now taste something gross. What a great triumph.
Yeah, you've been given a real gift from
the
universe.
Triumph of the will, if you will.
Jesus.
I don't get – is that a reference to something? I don't know.
Yeah, really?
No, okay.
Oh, welcome to Cinema Virgins Corner. This is the first time I've used this microphone, and I feel so off guard.
Oh, really? Yeah, you seem to be approaching it oddly.
I don't know how to do it.
It's sort of like the cat that sees the cucumber behind him and freaks out.
Yes. Also, I want to really back up on this. I don't want to be mean about Partida Creos. I've had way more good wine than bad wine from them. They are just like their known quantity as like they're on or they're off.
I will also say that probably because they are one of those like natural wines that we all kind of had first,
mm-hmm.
or like were one of our first experiences to natural wine, and it's a producer that gets, you know, brought to parties, and I've had a lot of Partida Creos, and it's just there's more opportunity for you to have tasted an off to have tasted an off bottle because you've had more opportunities to taste it in general.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're great. I really, really, really like their still Shirello.
Uh-huh.
If you see that, grab it. I don't like it most of their reds,
mm-hmm.
But if you can find like their really delicate reds, those are right. fun.
But you don't like reds anyway, mm-mm. right?
No, red wine's for cowards. It's all about drinking white wine. We haven't done any red wine this. No, we did red wine last week.
We did?
Oh, yeah, we did three red wines, in fact.
They were pretty light, though.
They were like from France or some shit.
Yeah, or Austria.
So, yeah, I like this. I'm really happy it's good. I was a little bit nervous.
There's a lot of character to it. There's a robustness that I really dig. I think Jancis says Girello tastes like, has a tendency to taste like burnt tires and cabbage, which I think is sort of drastic and unfair, but there is character to the grape.
You know what I think it tastes like?
It's coming through here, yeah.
There's this really really cool Mediterranean herb, za'atar.
Mm.
Isn't
that the guy from the movie Big?
Yeah, he's the guy from the movie Big. Cool. It's like this. It's a wild oregano. Also, a vixen has pointed out that it is also the name of a spice mix used in Israel.
Oh.
I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the wild herb za'atar.
Mm-hmm. You said it's basil related?
Oregano.
Okay.
It's like it's a wild oregano.
Oregano. Yeah.
And yeah, it's I catch us on this a lot. I really think that Shirello actually shows a lot of like I'm glad it's not grown out of the Catalan area
mm-hmm.
because I like it being a Catalan wine. It tastes of Catalonia to me.
Should we talk of Catalonia?
Of many things, yeah.
I love Catalonia so much.
It's the fucking greatest.
Yeah, it's similar to other kind of subsets of Spain. It's not Spanish at all.
No,
it's Catalonian.
Them.
It's just very itself.
I was hungover for like a week in Catalonia this summer. And towards the end of it, I couldn't remember what the actual country was.
Right.
Like, I started thinking I was in Italy.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
I was like, well, it's not Spanish, it's not French.
Yeah, had to
and
be the third
there's,
one.
They're squapping around in that Latin language.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
It's fucking gorgeous. You can, like if you're near the ocean, it's, like, the most beautiful view in the world. I visited a cava producer. So, did we mention that the three grapes are in cava?
Yeah, that's... we should... Shirello's the good grape in cava.
Right. I think we almost finished that thought, and we didn't.
That so sounds like us.
Round back and make sure we did. But I was visiting a cava producer, and it's just like you're in a mountain, but you can see the ocean. That's the tits. That's the tits.
Well, welcome to the movie virgin corner. Hey, man, that's like the tits, dog. Yeah.
It's just great. It's a special place.
Seriously,
right next to
hanging out with the other podcasts made you a rude boy.
Oh yeah,
like
I've also been hanging out with Rihanna.
Oh, nice.
This was interesting when I was at that cava producer right next to their vineyards, or like a mile away. We walked to it. They had uncovered the oldest, preserved. Essentially winery mm-hmm. in Spanish history. Like, they found these holes in the ground where 3,000 years ago they were making fucking wine there.
Dope!
Just so cool. Which I know, like, we know that they made wine there, but they, like, there were still, like, preserved, like, grape skin remnants in the hole and shit.
Nice.
Pretty rad, and stems and stuff.
Those are the part that impacts your fertility, right? The seeds and stems?
Yeah, and the yellow number 5.
Yeah, you can't smoke that.
Yeah.
I really believe – so it was really hard for me today actually not to bring a wine I do sell because like, it's really hard to talk about Shirello without talking about Enrique Solar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everyone talks about the Gang of Four. I always jokingly say the El Junta de Cuatro or Cuatro or however the fuck you say it in Catalan.
Yeah.
And like Enrique Solar, I think, Mascandi, Cellar La Salada, and honestly, Potato Craves are like the people who have brought Shirello to everybody.
Right.
And Enrique Solar was the ex-som at Abuyi, and he makes the most like kind of som-focused Shirellos out there.
Mm-hmm.
They take oak really well, and they are maybe my favorite wines I sell, like just in terms of like grace and elegance.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's very authentico of you to say it.
Muy authentico por mí, yeah. But I find it hard. Like, I don't want to do that. And I don't really want to tell you guys to buy them, but you should buy them. But I wanted to kind of experiment because, again, we do have a really thick Shirello book.
You sure do.
Yeah, it's fucking thick as hell.
This is really, really good. It's
yeah.
It's like, it reminds me, it's like if champagne knew like when enough was enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like champagne, but it's like, yeah, but I'm just hanging with my boys. It's not a big deal. Like he's just gonna play some smash and maybe rip a couple bongs and then go home.
I actually have a different tasting though, which is like, you know when you're really hungover, and this is gonna get blue, and you get laid?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I have to go to bed now. This is perfect. This is our bluest episode so far.
A couple of blue boys. Call us the blue man.
I can't believe I said get laid. Jesus Christ. I hate this microphone.
You meant to say make love.
Yeah. When you fucking slam that ham. God. I've had like this heart, there's like knot around my chest all week about this wine because I didn't want to be mean.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love it. It's really pretty.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to talk about it because it's just very – it's simple, but it's complex at the same time. There's like, an unctuousness to it, which maybe is, like, too strong of a word for what it is. But it has, like, a gumminess to the flavor.
If you are one of our buyers who – like, if you're a customer and you buy a lot of Potato Craves, cellar it for a couple years. I have a sneaking suspicion that they're all – probably this good if they get 2 years of age.
Yeah, and I think that's just something we've talked about before that, like, no one is doing, which is, I understand, because, like, we're about to go into, like, our seventh recession.
Mm-hmm.
And and no one can afford to like buy a bottle of wine to drink in 2 years. But if you can and you do, great. Or if you just like stumble upon a store that's selling a vintage or two back, then mm-hmm. you're a lucky duck.
I think these are wines that are also probably benefiting from they're less cool than they were 2 years ago.
Mm.
I mean,
well, there's more cool stuff.
There's more cool stuff.
The pond got bigger.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be really good for them.
I agree.
Because like they're not going to be just everywhere and like in everyone's glass immediately.
I'll just throw this out there, and I again don't mean to be mean, but I really hope that that happens to Frank Cornelison as well. Like,
yes.
I think when I first had his wines a few years ago, I was like, holy shit. And all the ones I've had recently, I'm like, this feels like I'm drinking it too young, or he just didn't spend as much time. But again, I feel like he and these guys were like some of the first really, like, really hip natural wine producers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everyone was drinking, and that there maybe was a bit of a gold rush, and that, like, once everyone kind of, like, realizes there's a lot of good wine out there, mm-hmm. that they may be able to return to just like making really, really, really capital G good wine.
I mean, like, I'm of two minds of this. One, you don't come up with branding this good without actually wanting this to be your job.
Mm-hmm.
But two, at the same time, like, these are two Italians living in Catalonia. They were architects, so they had a couple bucks, obviously,
sure.
But they moved to the countryside to like have a simple life. And, like, I do think scaling is a problem for operations like this, mm-hmm. even though, again, they are clearly very professional from day one.
Yeah.
It still is one of the things that's like, oh, you know what? It's better when there's a little less pressure.
Did you read that really self-aggrandizing article about the guy who named that burger place number one burger in the world, and then the burger
yes.
place went out of
business? I read the first half of that article, and then I did something else on the internet.
I thought that article... It was a problematic article for a lot of reasons, because he was sort of congratulating himself for
and also
not
the,
really doing anything.
All the slurs he used?
Yeah.
They were old-fashioned, but very bitter.
But I think there's a little bit to say like about that, where like when you finally went back and talked to that dude, the guy was like, look, we just needed a break, and like we've been doing this for 60 years, and like all of a sudden people were coming in from New York City and being like, this burger isn't that fucking good, and why'd I have to wait 45 minutes, and trashing us on Yelp, and... All of a sudden, the spotlight... It's not that they didn't want to have a successful restaurant.
This is fucking
it's
good.
Just that the scope became bigger than what they expected.
Yeah. And I think that's a real thing. And I feel like when I was living in Turkey and I was trying to become a writer, mm-hmm. a friend sat me down. And this is really connected, I promise. And he said, if you were learning to play the guitar, people would tell you that your song sucked, you need practice.
Mm-hmm.
If you're writing and you're bad at it, people will tell you you're a bad writer and you suck,
mm-hmm.
and won't tell you to practice.
Mm.
And I think that's with winemakers a lot. Like when you make a mistake, people won't say, you can use this to get better. They say,
sure.
you make bad wine.
Right. I think that's a good point. There's one winemaker that we sell. He's a natural producer from France who, like, when you talk to him about winemaking, he was a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
He moved to the country for similar reasons, wanted to get back to nature, wanted to make organic wine.
If you're a plumber, you see the worst parts of nature.
You see some bad stuff.
Like, how is this growing?
But he says, like, I made bad wine for 10 years, and then I made okay wine for 5 years, and now I've made, like, pretty good wine for 5 years. And it's like, that's a very honest response to,
yes.
like, you know, you only get one shot every year to make good wine. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
I am, you know, when the Grinch's heart gets two sizes too big, three sizes too big.
I remember when the Grinch's butt got three sizes too thick.
Man, we are just, it must be a fruit day player. Cause we are fucking,
yeah.
our chakras are aligned.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
This is like, I might drink more of their wine now. I've been like kind of avoiding it because like I just have had experiences I didn't like it, and like this is beautiful. This is a great fucking bottle of wine.
About, is this just you said this is Method Champenois?
Method Ancestral.
Ancestral.
Yeah.
Sick. So it's just Pet Nat.
Mm-hmm.
And it is disgorged. There's no sediment, so I'm assuming they.
I'm assuming it's disgorged. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like their style. I here's a fun thing. I cannot find out any information about them, which is really weird for... I mean, I know who they are. I know
yeah.
their story.
Yeah.
I can't find out about sulfite usage.
Mm-hmm.
I've had mousy bottles, so I'm assuming they're not using too many sulfites.
Sure.
But I can't really find a firm statement from anybody who's been selling these.
Mm.
I know are that all their vineyards are organic.
Okay.
They buy grapes. They sell. They grow grapes. They like do everything. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard to find information about them. Mm. And I do feel like that it is. Almost everyone who's this cool, it's hard to find information about.
Well, that's
unless you're in the Von Boden book, in which case you'll learn every fucking thing.
Sure, but I mean, there's plenty of natural wines that are like, it's a producer you haven't really heard of before.
Fuck, this is good.
They don't have a lot of information on the internet, and that's fine. But this is like as if there was no like IMDb page for Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. Like, I know the guy was in Jingle All the Way. There has to be information on IMDb about him.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had more of this.
Yeah, I would crush a second bottle so easily.
We had a mag of one of their wines this summer at that art party we went to.
Yeah,
it was good for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah,
this is. I actually have a couple. This is a fun fact about me. I have a couple bottles of wine that I know are mousy in my Eurocov with a note on them not to open until 2020.
Uh-huh.
I might buy some of their current release and age them and see if I like them.
Cool.
I think this is fucking beautiful.
What we'll do is in 2020, you'll open them.
Yes.
We'll build a time machine. We'll come back to right now and then we'll taste them. So, right.
Profit.
Do it. Where are you? Where are we?
Okay. Let's drink more wine.
All right. We had to do a quick little smash and mezcal break.
Schmezcal. Oh, Kevin just fucking did a shot of mezcal like a champ.
We have to do the shot in the dark in the middle of the episodes now.
Yeah, shot in the mid. I wonder if
I only smoke highs, you know that.
I wonder if I have alcoholism. You ever think about that?
Try not to every day.
Every day, like, not going to have that thought today.
Have I talked about... Boop, boop. The real addiction in my life, which is like I can't...
Two Princes by Spin Doctors? Because I'm addicted to that shit.
I can't stop watching Great British Bake Off, which I know is like a boring statement to make, but it literally, I now can't stop dreaming about cakes.
My bitch, you have to watch Love Island.
Love Island. I don't want to dream about islands and chlamydia.
Love Island is so good. Let me just give you the plot.
How is it different than Bachelor in Paradise?
Okay, so here's the deal, right, mate?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they're incomprehensible.
Okay.
There's like a lot of Welsh people.
There is a woman on the Baking Great Show.
Baking Great Show.
Who has some unfortunate dentures who you just cannot understand whatsoever, and she's adorable.
Casey and I...
Is it like this?
Casey and I lived in England for a year. We had to turn the subtitles on.
Yeah.
Because there's like, oh, if we're here, what the fuck is going on? What comedian dick? It's like, whoa.
Whoa.
They're all fucking weird. They're all the dudes are carved as shit.
Mm-hmm.
All of the women are like psychotically scheming.
Right.
And like also like seem like they're too good for these like empty feather-headed brain dudes.
So it's Bachelor in Paradise. It's the same thing.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
One couple gets £25,000.
Uh-huh.
Or £50,000. £25,000
each. So what's that, like $1 million or something?
It's 14 tons.
Fucking idiot.
But the cool thing is you have to keep this couple. And so like, there's all these outside factors. Like,
who has to keep the couple?
You have to be in a stable relationship.
Oh.
And so
for how long?
Well.
Your life?
You have to be with your partner.
Uh-huh.
At the end to win this, but partners keep getting swapped through competitions. Like if you win a competition, you get to switch partners, and the partners have to hang out and sleep in the same bed.
But not fuck.
Well, some of them do. I'm on episode 3, so you know there's going to be some fluids released.
Interesting.
But like, it is mental, isn't it?
You're making the weirdest. You're using the weirdest phrases for sex.
Well, I said get laid earlier, and I'm so uncomfortable with myself. There's going to be some salami hiddens.
Wow.
Some crouching tiger hidden salami.
Trying to make up for lost time over here.
Yeah, dude. It is so fucking good. And they are just like... I just watched episode 2 where they get... two identical twins from Manchester who are nominally Italian.
I call it Madchester.
And they're like we're Italian stallions. And they just, like, bring two women out on dates. And the women have to choose if they want to couple up with them or with the guys they were already coupled up with. And the two guys who aren't in relationships have to leave the island. So I don't know what the winnowing down process is right now. But right now they're trying to find stable couples. It's so fucking maddeningly good. It's the best show on television.
But do you dream about it?
Yes.
Because I've been dreaming, like literally tossing around in bed, being like, I don't know how to make a royal icing.
Jesus, dude.
Like, why is there cake everywhere? Like, I had a dream that my dad had a boat and it was covered in chocolate cake. It's affecting my day-to-day life. I love when you mention
your dad dreams, because, like, I know there's going to be a 30 minutes we have to cut off the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm just trying to stall because the wine is too cold and I want us to warm it up in our hands.
I see you, boo. I will just say that British reality TV is batshit because they have, like, the kind of alcoholism we can only dream of as a people.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, oh, I'll drink the whole bottle.
Like, I'm doing it for the queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing it for the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Spoiler alert, this is good, by the way. I've been sipping it a little bit. It's a little too cold, but it's starting to come back down to temp.
That boy done some mallow.
This is a disgorgeous promise, okay? If you are gonna podcast, don't leave your bottle of wine in the freezer at the beginning and then forget.
That's our promise.
That's our promise to you. Every time.
Boy, that is a full-bodied white wine. I'm ready for this.
Yeah, I'm okay with it, too. This is what I want to drink in the winter.
Thick wines save times. That's close.
I want to drink whites that are big and reds that are small.
Pogs.
Yeah.
This is very fun.
So this is the Sasso.
Is that in chestnut or oak?
Ah, great question.
Thank you.
It's an acacia.
Bitch, might be. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, so that's like the new oak alternative, if you will.
Oh my God.
It's not new at all. People have been using it for a long time, but more and more people are using it. Wait.
It's a new oak. I want you to. I'll drink it. Just go acacia. Alexandra Acacia Cortez.
Oh, shit.
One more. Yeah, yeah.
I've got a acacia of the clap.
Jesus.
The producer here is Finca Pereira. Those are should probably sound like
which beef. Is Spanish for
Finca Pereira. This is the Sasso.
You mean Finca Paella?
Oh God, I love paella.
Me too, man.
It's all just like all your favorite friends.
Mm-hmm. Shrimpies,
just hanging out. Shrimpies, sausages,
sometimes Rabby.
Oh yeah, throw Rabby in there.
I love some Rabby up in this bitch.
Uncle Chungo, what's his name?
Big Chungus. Uncle Chungo is the new evolution.
Uncle Chungo definitely was a one-hit wonder from the 90s.
When Big Chungus acquires the Moonstone, it becomes Uncle Chungo.
So this is Young Vine Girello. This is unfined, unfiltered. It is destemmed. It's a 2015.
Is there skin contact in this bitch?
I didn't say that on there, so I don't think
I know there the is. Catalans like a little bit of skin contact.
I think they do too. I think they don't talk about it.
No, they do as a prophylactic against having to add sulfites.
Right, exactly.
Catalunya is mad naturale.
I mean, this is a very natural wine.
Unless you're making cava, in which case you're not doing natural things.
These guys converted from organics to biodynamics in 2013. They leave it in bottle for at least a year before release, which I think is rad. Now, again, we're talking about people who actually hold on to this
Will
shit.
Will Sasso personally harvest these grapes?
I really fucking hope so, because he is the best member of Mad TV.
Now that Alex Bornstein's been canceled because of Miss Swan being racist.
Right.
Thanks, PC Police. You canceled a cool television program.
From 20 years ago.
Can you imagine, like, the pitch meeting where they're like, so what's the joke? She's like, well, I'm Asian. Like, are you really? Like, no, I'm a white woman. I'm going to do a bad, bad Asian accent. And like, how many? It's going to be in every episode for 10 minutes.
And then they were like, well, we're Fox, so this is fine. Yeah.
This is great. This sounds like a good thing for television. However, that is where Spanish television is now.
Oh, yeah. They're so good at that. When you're, like, getting some lunch at, like, a nice restaurant in Bushwick, and they're just playing like awesome daytime television in on Espanol.
Yep.
They're doing some really interesting things. And the show
is
like things.
Called Who is Darker? What? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, I can tell you more about this producer. Oh,
please tell me more about this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make fun of Telemundo. Telemundo is really fun, but there was...
I love it. It's actually like more fun than watching normal daytime television. Normal. Jesus
I actually
Christ.
Think Spanish
Judgment.
Language is normal.
Yeah, it was rude of me to say that. But just the stuff I can understand the language of. So this is a father and son, Ruben, and his dad is
Ruben?
Named, yes.
Stuttered?
Nope. His dad's named Jordi, which is sick.
What the fuck?
Jordi and Ruben Pereira.
Mi amo es Jordi. Yo soy Ruben. You're saying hombre muy peligroso.
Also, they grow cherries, which I just like that.
Yo, I had some Catalan cherries. Mm-hmm. They were ill.
Here's like,
go on, give me the tea.
Cherries might be the most underrated fruit.
I think the little mangoes that are about the size of the palm of your hand are the most underrated fruit.
That's stupid because it's not even rated. I'm talking about a fruit that is a known quantity, but that people don't take seriously.
I'm sorry that I live in 2019 and you live in 2000 late. Mangoes are a good fruit.
Remember before you told me you wanted to live in 2019?
Did I say that?
Yeah.
When?
Well, earlier before you did mezcal, and now you're being mean to me.
I just think that mangoes are the best fruit.
You commented off mic that there's a weird energy today.
And this is a weird energy.
Because we're sitting on the same couch.
This is so fucking weird. This is like...
This is sort of like the episodes when we're standing up.
Oh, I don't like those episodes. There's an episode of Oh Yeah Dude, my other favorite podcast, where there's a gas leak and they end up having a fight on the podcast because like they're being poisoned.
And holy shit.
Maybe there's a gas leak. You're a fucking asshole, man. Mangoes are the best fruit.
I love mangoes. I'm just saying they're not underrated.
Sound off in the comments, guys. Mm-hmm. This is very good.
This is, so both of our wines today imported by the same person.
Yeah.
Selections de la Viña, yeah, which is the other book that has all the... genre.
Alvaro's really cool.
Yeah. Well,
wow. I don't have more of that wine. This is something we were talking about in the Silvaner episode. It's good to find grapes that are not exactly capital G grape, but yeah, close to it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I like international varieties are really fun, but at the same time, I like varieties that are basically only found in one region because, like, they talk about the region so much more. Like,
Bobal or something.
Yeah. Chardonnay is, everyone owns Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, you can't be like Chardonnay's Burgundy.
Right.
Because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is more, you know, to its credit. But, like, I do think Shirello could have done that at one point. But I'm happy where it is, and it's like, it's in a tier. It's telling us something about the world.
It's a hometown hero.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that, where it's like, you know, you never went to the big city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you could have made it, maybe you wouldn't have, but you never went, and you just made it work here at home.
Have you ever read The Skating Rink?
No.
It is by Roberto Bolaño. It's his book about a Catalan murder mystery.
Ooh.
It's very good.
I love Bologna.
He's the man. That's it. Is it one of his small books, so you can read it? Yeah. I can't read him anymore because I'm of Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I can't actually read a real book.
Like, I tried 2666. No way.
I tried to read Savage Detectives
more like
again.
2.666.
Well, it's actually more like 3.666, like, actually, if you're
whatever.
If you're measuring.
God damn it.
I tried to read Savage Detectives.
Yeah.
And I'm too stupid to get past the first part. Like once the linear story ends and it's now like we're doing interviews with people.
Yeah.
Check me out in 300 pages, dude.
I couldn't read the second part of, I guess, 3666. I'm sorry, I forgot it.
No, it's 2666. I was making fun of you.
Okay, cool.
I was making a dick joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. It's disgorgeous.
Right, I forgot about that.
That's our podcast. We make dick jokes and drink wine.
There's basically three books that are like stitched together in that book that have nothing to do with each other. And the second one made my head hurt.
My dude was really good at writing the first book.
Yeah.
Really well. Like,
yeah.
The first part of The Savage Detectives is like the best book.
Yeah.
The second part is like, it's like all those chapters in Moby Dick that you're like,
Like, cool, this is a lot of whales that you're like, talking about.
Thanks for inventing the modern novel, bitch. But okay, more sailors making out, please.
Yeah, this is cool. I think like the it's interesting to me that the wood character is not it's not oak.
That is a it's chapter in Moby Dick.
Same, it's doing the same kind of work, but it's has a different flavor.
There is a chapter in Moby Dick, and we're almost done here, where they put a whale's foreskin on like a priest's cassock.
Yeah,
I think about that literally every day.
Yeah,
just like. What level of, like, are you okay, Herman? Herman Melville was on. Like, just like, so in this chapter, they're going to remove the whale's foreskin. And they're like, okay, well, that's already pretty crazy. And like, we're going to put it on like a priest's cassock. And then like, Herman Melville's friends, like, kind of look at him. He's like, I really love my wife. He's like, all right, dog, cool.
I mean, the book starts with a description of, quote-unquote, the savage.
Oh, my God.
Just snuggling up in bed with the hero. There's a lot going on in that book.
I read that book every 3 years. It's about time.
I think my copy is right behind me, isn't it? Oh, no, it's on my bedside.
It's right behind me. It's on my bedside. I'm about to read it before I make love. It's right next
you
to my condoms.
Before I get laid.
Yeah, before I fucking blast off. Is this our most problematic episode?
It might be, surprisingly.
What if someone canceled us? Like, I can't believe you said Moby Dick was about homosexuality. It's clearly about a whale.
A lot of people don't know that it's actually called Moby Dick's Monster. Moby Dick was the scientist.
Yeah, Moby Dick's monster is the whale's penis.
Should we talk about the wine more?
One more whale penis fact.
Okay.
They're prehensile.
Oh, wow.
Because whales are...
In the water.
Underwater is like very little gravity.
Yeah.
So they have to like squirm around and like pull the other whale.
Yeah.
How about that? What do you think about it, dude?
I think there's a certain kind of like stretching or something that we could do.
Certain kind of breathing routine?
Yeah, like some kind of a Kegel related activity.
I'm constantly doing Kegels on this podcast. That's like why I mumble all the time.
We should talk more about the wine.
I almost was about to say, I don't think I'm going to get drunk this episode.
Well, then we did a mezcal break. It has, obviously, mallow. It has the not oak wooden, like, roundness to it. Like you said earlier, this grape can take the Chardonnay-esque things you can throw at it in terms of aging and mallow, and it wears it quite nicely.
It does. And like I think that Shirello's, and this is like one of my sales pitches, it does literally everything Chardonnay does, but nobody has a preconceived opinion about it.
Right.
Because like normies like, oh, Shirello, I fucking hate you. Because normies are all English. They're like, I hate Shirello.
Yeah.
But
who hates
Shirello? I'm sorry. Shirello. I hate Chardonnay.
Okay. That makes sense.
Whoa. Mezcal. But like nobody has any opinions about Shirello. And it's a good way of sneaking in Chardonnay.
Right. What does Shirello mean? It's two words, right?
I don't fucking
know. Is it Shirello and then Lo?
That's a Catalan... It's a way of Catalan spelling.
Uh-huh.
I just read this yesterday. I have no fucking idea. It's spelled like a thousand ways.
Right.
You can have a dot. You can have a dash. You can have nothing.
You can have all as one word. You can have it as two words.
If you have a dot, you are like, go fuck yourself, Spain, Catalonia forever.
Uh-huh.
If you have a dash, you're like, we're an autonomous area.
Yeah.
If you have no dash, you're like, actually, like, it's cool to be part of the common market.
Mm-hmm.
And if you spell it like Chardonnay, you're a real innovator. They are not the same grape. I just want to say that very clearly.
They are not.
Before anyone yells at me. This is actually related to, I wrote this down, the grape it's probably drawing from is, it might be a relative of Macabeo.
That would make sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely from Spain.
Yes.
Like, I mean, as much as anything can be from anywhere, but it's considered
as much
a
as
grape.
Spain's a real country. Spain's more of a set of mind.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm drunk at 3 p.m.
A set of mind?
I'm in Spain time.
It's like a Klondike commercial. When I butt into a Klondike, I feel like I'm on the top of Mount Everest.
When I'm smoking Lounge and having white guy dreadlocks at like 5:30 on a Wednesday, I'm in Spain.
I want to go to Spain again.
When I lived in Morocco, you could tell Spanish tourists because they wore Aladdin pants in every situation. And like at that time, I made fun of them. Now I'm like really jealous. I would love to wear some Aladdin pants.
You can, man. You gotta live your truth.
Just drop this crotch. Drop this crotch. Lisp some syllables.
Uh-huh.
And like get my white guy dreads.
Yeah.
Do you think you could do a white guy dread? So we just call them dreads in 2019.
Yeah. I'm going to go hard no on that. Only because I've never heard a Tori Amos song.
Okay. I know how to fix that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Does it involve going, Alexa, play Tori Amos?
Illusions never Toried into something Amos. I'm wide
awake. Her?
No.
No, that's Torn by Natalie Imbruglia.
I'm playing you, man. I'm playing you hot and cold.
You think I don't know Natalie Imbruglia? Come
I am
on,
in
dude.
Love with Natalie Imbruglia.
I watched Fuse TV every day. Alexa, stop. That took way too long for her to get to it.
Yeah.
We probably just cut all that, I bet.
No, I don't think we did. I was about to say, this is really good content.
Oh, yeah. Sasso means like stone or something.
So that's where his name comes from.
Yeah.
Will Sasso.
But they're calcareous soils. I know that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What I like about Catalonia was every gas station I went to sold honey as well. Yeah. Like, there's like, you can have local honey here.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
These guys have local honey. They have beehives.
Nice.
They have...
Oh, beehive.
Austin Powers.
Oh, shit. That was a cool joke.
Oh, beehive.
The Joker.
You want to know how I got all these bee stings?
You know how I can tell that you're really good at impersonations? How? Is how you always say what you're impersonating at
exactly.
The end of it.
Yeah. That's how you do a good impersonation. Like, thank you. Thank you very much, Elvis. Do an impression, man.
I'm a painting made up of lots of dots. I'm an impressionist.
Pac-Man.
Yeah, that's it.
It's Pac-Man.
What are your feelings on Kava?
I want to do a Kava episode.
I too.
I really like Kava.
We kind of like had a weird like diss on Kava like 20 minutes ago in this episode, or maybe 5 minutes ago.
I don't time fucking know. Time's a flat circle.
But I actually really dig Kava, and I think we could like have a fun episode on it. But it's interesting to pull these grapes out of it first, the same way that like Chardonnay and Pinot Noir are at the same time more important, not as part of Champagne, but also are more important as Champagne. Like, Kava is, people think of it as a singular identity, but it's actually more complicated than
you
that.
You can use fucking Pinot Noir in Kava, which is insane.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
true.
Franco.
Especially in Rosé Kava.
Yeah, Franco, you a fucking dick, player.
Yeah. Franco was, honestly, though, kind of chill.
Kind of chill. Like, I mean, I was mad at him a second ago, but when you said that, I remember all the cool things he did.
See, you didn't know him like I knew him.
Like all the cool things just, he did, like I can't think of a single cool thing I can say he did. I was going to make a joke, but like,
wow, man.
Everything he did was bad.
You don't know him like I know him.
Yeah, what'd he do?
He used to just like take these crazy bong rips. Like, epic.
Like, the cool thing about Franco is like he'd always smoke you out.
Yeah.
Like,
he never asked for dough or anything. Like,
as long as you weren't like a fucking Jew or Catalan, he'd smoke you out.
If you needed to like get to the 7-Eleven because you had a mad case of the munchies, like he'd drive you and he wouldn't even ask for gas money. You know what
Again,
I mean?
As long as you weren't Jewish or Catalan.
Of course, like I assume
or,
that we all
God
know
help
that
you,
part.
A Muslim. But like if you were like a good Spanish Catholic.
Yeah.
He would smoke you the fuck out. But he would ask you about your friends. Like, what's their religion? Yeah. Like, can my death squads kill them?
Yeah, but he knew all the cheat codes for Donkey Kong Country.
I mean, like,
tight.
It's really hard to hate Franco because, like, that game is hard.
He honestly also had, like, the best score in Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Damn, I'm like Ross Douthat. I'm like pro Franco.
I also always pronounce that guy's name Doubt Hat because I think that sounds funny.
I pronounce him as Ross Doubt That because I'm like, that's a bad take, my dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were doing a bit. I think actually fascists are bad.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Unless you are Muhammad VI, the king of Morocco, in which case fascism's cool, dude. Hey, what's up, player?
What do you think the most fascist wine is? Well, we're over an hour.
Good, thank God.
Should we do a shot in the dark?
Yeah, let's do that.
Like,
do you think, is Moby's name really Moby? Or did he name himself after the book Moby Dick? I've always wondered that.
I've always wondered,
like, it's weird that your name is Moby. That has to be, like, you named yourself after a book. Like, who had a baby and named it Moby? Probably nobody.
No, but, wait, I mean, like, if your kid grows up to be, like, a techno DJ?
Yeah.
Like, maybe you did name them Moby. It's like if your kid grows up to, like blow on people's chakras.
Also, how did the whale get the name?
It's a good name. Moby Dick is like, a good name.
I don't remember this part. Did, like, Captain Ahab go, like, that's the white whale, and I've named him Moby Dick?
He never says, that's why I call him Moby Dick. They never have, like, a that's Die Hard moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, that book is... The whale almost gets in the way about this book, which is, like, really just, like, about how cool it is when dudes hang out.
Also, like, I'm still in the process of rereading it, and I'm, like, 200 pages in, and we still haven't even seen the whale.
No, but you have seen a lot of chapters on whale biology.
I learned a lot about incorrect whale biology.
Oh, it's so... I love how it's incorrect.
I like how it's, like, dolphins are technically just whales, which is not true. Also, a lot of, like...
They call a fish a bunch, don't they?
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, writing about, like, the different kind of, like, eating practices of, like, the different ranks of a ship. Like,
yeah, it's very
well, the
good.
Captains eat first. Now the captains eat, then it's, like, the second mate's turn. After the second mate, the guy up on the fucking crow's nest, he gets to eat. Whatever he doesn't eat, then the guy in the hull gets to eat the crumbs. It's like, who cares about this?
It is literally...
You're not getting a Michelin star.
Like, Herman Melville, literally...
Herman.
Because I'm French.
Yeah, Herman Melville.
He, like, literally invents every technique used in postmodern literature.
Right.
Uses them, shows you them, and throws them out.
Yeah.
It is the best work of brilliance in the English language.
Best work of brilliance.
Because, like, literally all he... The entire book can be... We just cut a lot of Moby... But the most important thing for us, you guys, to know is that we think Moby Dick is better than Infinite Jest.
I do. I don't want to vouch for that. I really like the book Infinite Jest. I don't want to be that guy, but I think it's a great book.
I think there are similar novels. I think Moby Dick does not get enough. No one cares.
Yeah.
Literally, no
one cares about any of this.
No one wants to hear our opinions on books.
Okay, so here's to sum up the episode. Lawrence of Arabia, Heat. Infinite Jest, Moby Dick, and some other piece of culture.
If you're
are
playing,
the things you need to listen to or read if you want to be a boring.
Now, if you're playing white guy bingo,
yeah, you just got.
And also, Joker is the bonus square.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I'm glad you brought that.
If you've got Moby Dick, Heat, Lawrence of Arabia, I Hate My Dad, and Oak and Wine. Then you win $1 million.
Ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding.
Oh,
we are fucking parodies of ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah. P-A-R-I-T-Y.
Because we got to.
We're going to do this shot.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Holy
That was a sample of bulk rum that Scott Rosenbaum gave us.
I want a shirt that says bulk rum.
Bulkrum.
It's, Bulkrum.
I'm pretty sure my breath is on fire. Is that true?
Hey,
am I a dragon?
I just felt my intelligence ratchet down, like, 4 points.
Yeah, you didn't have a lot of points to start with.
Yeah, no, I'm like a fucking half-orc
now.
You're
on negative three now.
I moved from elf to half-orc.
That was a 12-year-aged... 70%
put it back in
rum.
The bottle for real, Scott. That's bad.
Yeah. He gave it to us for a reason. He didn't want it. The good news is I gave you a wine that you should get.
No, I'm not going to get anything.
Yeah.
I have, like, I had
You're
going
to get it. It's so easy.
I literally watched the edges of my vision shrink down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. At the beginning of a James Bond movie. Yeah.
Oh. That's Sauvignon Blanc.
No, are you kidding? Is that a joke? There's nothing Sauvignon-y.
It smells like citrus and I hate it.
Yeah, but you're on the right track.
I hate when you say that because it makes me feel really bad when I don't get it.
No, but you're I'm trying to encourage you, man. I'm trying to be like your Jimmy Cricket. That's his name, right?
Jimmy Cricket.
Yeah.
Is like the guy who takes your bets outside of the Albany bus station.
Jimmy Cricket is the name of a pickpocket in fucking Brighton. I'm Jimmy Cricket. I think you can get this. If you don't let the rum trick you.
The rum is tricking me because all I get is grapefruit.
But I feel like you're on the right track.
What did I think this was? And you disagree.
You said Sauvignon Blanc. It's obviously not Sauvignon Blanc.
It's not Sauvignon Blanc. It's not nearly enough grapefruit and garbage.
I will say this wine was purchased by my good friend, Andy Swerdlow, one of my dearest friends, who is really into wine, has no formal training, he just goes to stores and he asks a lot of questions and he picks out bottles that he thinks sounds interesting.
Okay, I've got a guess on this one.
Okay.
And I'm going to give it to you. You can tell me if I'm wrong or right, but this is what I think. Yeah, I think it is either Alto Adige or German. I think it's probably a Gewürztraminer, and I think it's a recent vintage.
My dog. You did it.
I did it.
It's Gewürztraminer. I knew you'd get it. I knew. I believed in you.
Woo!
It is Alsatian, though.
Y'all gonna make me loot?
I'm gonna give you it.
Okay. That's fair. Alsatian.
I'm glad you stopped singing your song.
It should be German.
Yeah. It's Alsatian Gewürz.
I mean, if the right people won World War II,
yeah,
it would be German.
Of course. 100%. If Franco really... if Franco had his fucking shit together...
Do you know that Franco sucked?
Yeah.
To be honest?
Yeah.
He was a bad boy.
Most people you know about in history were bad.
Well,
is that a fair statement?
Yes, that's a hundred.
If people wrote about him 100 years later, it's because they were bad people.
All of the Egyptian pharaohs were bad, which is hard to tell because like they were so cool. But King Tut had a dagger made of a meteorite. He was maybe worse than Trump. He was a Dumbo.
If you ruled a world,
he was a boy king.
If you ruled the world in pre-Christ America.
Oh, we're going to bring Christ into this?
If 3,000 years ago you controlled 30% of the globe, you did bad things. We haven't had good material.
Have we had any content today?
No, we have to do it again tomorrow, man.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Well, we should wrap this up.
This is definitely Gewürztraminer, though. I'm right.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's right. Great. I already told you you're right.
Alsatian. Okay, well, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's good. So, guys.
Oh, also, the wine is called, like, Dompfeniron or something. No. It's got a very weird name. Yeah,
don't make good. Any jokes, guys.
It's really called that.
It's their culture. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
As an anthropologist, I think you shouldn't make fun of anybody.
What if you were an anthropologist?
So, this has been Discortus. It's a podcast about wine.
And you just learned about the different, like, histories
of ants.
Stop
it, dude. Stop it. We have 20 minutes of content. Please don't do a racism in the next 3 minutes.
Ants aren't a race.
I know what you're going for. You're going to make fun of Armenians, and, like, I'm there with you. So, thank you, guys. It's been a great podcast. We love you. Please, if you love what you heard today... check out our Patreon.
It is our pledge week.
It's our pledge week, bitch.
So here with more is Bob Odenkirk.
I think it's our 1 year anniversary.
It's coming up.
It's like right now.
If you want to help celebrate, send us $5 in the form of $5.
Kevin, I love what you've just done with the English language, you asshole.
It really helps us to defend Franco's vision.
I'm going to breathe in very deeply and finish this episode.
Great.
But seriously, if you suspect your coworkers might not be Catholic, you should call the president.
That's going to be all for us here at the Pleasure Dome, which is my new name for the podcasting station in my house.
Yeah, welcome to Xanadu, bitch. Thanks for the mezcal, Kevin. That made this Shirello gooder.
Don't forget to tune in next week when we will be interviewing the Pope.
That's true. The actual Pope, he's going to come on here, and I'm going to, spoiler alert, I'm going to fuck him. So I'm going to fuck the Pope.
You're going to fuck the Pope. That's a disgorgeous promise.
I'm going to fuck the Pope. And here's the thing. In 3 weeks, you know I'm not going to text the Pope back.
Oh, shit.
Welcome to Disgorgeous. Woo! Pause that.
Disgorgeous.